हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sundarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarna 3, The Sameness of the Universe and the Lord, Anucheta 65, page 46. Having shown that the body cannot be determined to be independent in existence, it is now shown that the causes, such as earth, cannot be determined. Dhatavo vya vavit tvach cha tan matra vayaver vina nasyur yasyat Yavin Yasan Nava Yavo Nataha. Because the elements are only parts, they cannot exist without their sense objects, which are also parts. Since the whole universe and the body are unreal, the elements and subjects are also unreal. Right? Meaning, here being real and meaning that they're not the substance, they're not the basis. Right. Dhatava means the five elements, since the word means those things which support, dharayanti. The five elements cannot exist without the subtle parts, avayavahi, the sense objects, tanmatrai. Since the elements are also only parts, right? Because earth has smell. So if there's no smell, it's not earth. Just like a fire doesn't have heat and light, it's not fire. Right? So the sense, so you can say the earth is doing it, but it's dependent on the sense object. The sense object can't be doing it because it's dependent upon the earth. Right? Can the parts exist independently? Since the whole cannot be determined, ava yavini, the parts also cannot finally be determined to exist. The world cannot be proved since the existence of the smallest parts, atoms, cannot be proved, it is said. What is known by the word, quote-unquote, earth, exists in name only, because earth is resolved into atomic particles, which are imagined by the mind out of ignorance. Out of the combination, a particular object is made. Right, so then the mind, we're covered by the avidya pokshakti. Right? And so therefore, then with the use of that mind, then we're trying to understand and we see the atoms and all these different things. Then we're seeing the atoms on their own. But you don't have the atoms just on their own. Right? The potency of the Lord is there, all the different elements, the sense object, all the different things are all there. Right? You know, so we're just seeing this or we're just seeing that or that. So our seeing things is not actually real. Because real means in connection with the Lord. You see the whole thing. So only when you see the Lord do you actually see the whole thing. So that means other than devotees, no one can actually see what's really going on. Right? But if you're working with the aspect of jnana, right, then from that level, then there'll be a concurrence that you can say is, yes, what they're talking about, then we have a discussion here. But in reality, without seeing that in context of the Lord, it's not real. So that's the realness and unrealness is in connection with how it's seen in connection with the Lord. It's like the thief's view of the crown jewels. Is it real? Right? So they're seeing the same jewels that the guy, you know, with the fancy hat and his you know, stick is standing there. I think it's not even a stick. I think it's a halberd. You know, so sticks with the what do you call it? The curved axe on the top. whatever. He's sitting there. They both are, you know, they're both sitting, but they're seeing completely different. One is saying, oh, wow, this would fetch a pretty penny, right? And the other one is thinking, you know, who's this guy? He looks suspicious, you know. Is he going to do something with the queen's jewels, you know, here? And so, like this, but the whole, there's all these different perceptions. So the point being made is, until you see everything in context of the Lord, you're not seeing. So that's why the atheistic Shankya is not actually important. You can say mechanically it's the same, but the point is it doesn't see it in the context of the Lord. Right? So that's the important element, is that in the context of the Lord, things take on their actual reality. Because then you understand how Krishna's potency is expanding and how he's entering into everything, how he is everything. He is the universal form, you know, so that's his grossest manifestation. But at the same time, is he's beyond that. He is a person, originally remains. You could say, well, if he expands this, how can the person remain? But the point is the person is the basis. Because the person has those qualities, therefore you can have these expansions. Just like, let's say, the carpenter, then he can do things with, you know, he can take a piece of wood and make stuff with it because he has that nature. But because that doesn't mean he changes. Because he's put out so much energy to make the piece of furniture doesn't mean he's changed. Right? So we're used to things here. Okay, I have a tree. If I make a chair, I don't have a tree anymore. Right? Because the tree is not... So the you don't have the point. Krishna is the one who produces the energy. He produces... and because of his rules, it can transform. And he still remains. That's the point. Is he's the basis of himself. Everything else is based on him. So our logic that we apply, yes, it does work on everything except him.
Yes.
Because he's the basis of himself. He's the shelter of himself. So he's unique. He's something, he's different. Yes.
Can we say that, for example, for a discussion like that, there are more or less three levels of discussion. There are the spiritual discussion to see everything connected to Krishna. There is a philosophical discussion with some speculation, and the physical discussion, like the scientists are doing.
Yes, it means you have the spiritual, you have the metaphysical, you have the physical.
Yeah.
But the point is if you're looking at the physical and metaphysical without the Lord, you don't actually, what you're dealing with is actually illusion. Because illusion means not seeing things as they are. It doesn't mean they don't exist. So when they say it's not real, or it can't be proven, because you can't prove it in that state is complete. You know, you say Pradhan is producing everything. You can't prove that. Because Pradhan's not functioning on its own. You know what I'm saying? It's the Lord who creates everything. He may do that through the agency of Brahman. That's another thing, agency. That's a good one, agency. You know, so that aspect is so it's a matter of, if you're seeing things real, that means you're seeing in the context of the Lord. And if you're not seeing in the context of the Lord, then you're dealing with illusion. You're dealing with the avidya shakti. So, and then you can say, as no, but people are very intelligent and they're applying their intelligence, but that's the mundane knowledge shakti within avidya. Because avidya means you don't see it in connection to the Lord. And then, within avidya, then there's going to be vidya and avidya. So vidya means you can see the secondary aspects, but because you don't see them in connection with the Lord, it's still avidya. Or someone can't actually see properly. You know, it means you have a common person and he can't see certain things. You know, it's like he can't see a business opportunity, yes, or a managerial opportunity, or things like that. But someone trained in a specific field can. Just like the common person, the sink gets plugged, they look at it, they have no idea. They're in illusion. I mean, they're in ignorance.
Yes.
But the plumber comes and goes, oh, okay, yeah, we do this, and in 5 minutes it's fixed.
Yes.
So being able to see or not see, but it's still within the context of your seeing never sees the Lord. So it's still avidya. So that's the important point. So we're establishing here is that Krishna being the cause, he's also the effect. So until you see it in that way, you're not actually seeing. So that's what we mean by it's not real. It's not real means how you see it's not actually. You know, it's just like the children's view of the living room when the parents aren't there and it's only them in the house. Their view of the living room would generally be taken as unreal. You know? Does that make sense? You know, because it turns into all kinds of things. You know, what it can be, what you can do with it, what it's for. You know, is it a cricket pitch? Is it a place to play rugby? You know, are we climbing mountains here and that? Or, you know, what's going on here? So it's unreal because it's real meaning it's existing, but how we're viewing it, that's what's unreal, because that's the important thing. Because we as conscious living entities, then it's about the consciousness. So if our consciousness doesn't actually bring it up to the transcendental platform, it's weak, it's not complete. Does that make sense? So here's the point where the terminology may be used in various ways. Right? So that's, you know, it's just like you say, this is good, this is not so good. But now let's say we take the good of that, this is better, this is a little bit less. And within the bad, this is not as bad, this is more bad. You know what I'm saying? So within, you can always find those aspects. Because the whole point is because it's Krishna. Therefore, then you can find all the different qualities. Does that make sense? You know, depending on what it's for. Let us say you need a rubber band, right? So you open the drawer and you rummage around in the drawer, you know, and there's all kinds of things in there, you know, a bottle cap, a this, a that. So they're all useful for something, but they're not what you... So when you find, oh, this is not what I want, this is not useful. But it's useful for something else. You know, like there's a hammer there, but, you know, that's not going to hold whatever it is you want together with a rubber band. You know? But let's say you want to put a nail in the wall, then the rubber band, you know, you can sit there and put the nail, and then they shoot the nail into the wall, and then after that, keep it and keep whacking it until it goes in or something. You might be there a while.
Yeah.
What is known? Okay. What is known by the word earth exists in name only because earth is resolved into atomic particles, which are imagined by the mind out of ignorance. Out of their combination, a particular object is made. So you can say, this is the earth, but then it's made out of particles, and those particles can be, you know, taken back to their original state.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the earth? You know, and then these atomic particles then also... We're imagining, we're seeing them out of the, you know, being covered by the avidya shakti, that, you know, we have these atomic particles, you know. But the point is where do those come from? Why are they working? Like, they don't know why an atom works, or what they call an atom technically is not fully an atom, because it has parts. Atoms don't have parts. It's the smallest particle. So what they're talking about now is a combination of elements of the atoms. Right? And even that, they don't know why. Why would this atom have so much energy? And they know that energy, when it's released, it still doesn't disappear. It just goes into another form. So it's always just changing. Where is that? Where is the source of that energy? No one's looking for that. Guaranteed, no science wants to find that source. You know, unless it's this funny little like cube like this big, you know, that floats around the universe, and when it touches things, it comes to life like that. Then it's all right. But if it's anything else, that they really don't want to know about. Is that?
So, Maharaj, can we say that like Earth is connected with smell? Yeah?
Yes.
Can we say that every atom is also connected with smell?
No, it depends on what atom it is. Only if it's an atom of earth element. But we're talking about the word earth, meaning what we call this earth here. No, this planet. But it's just made up of atoms. So where is it? You know, you can say this pot, but it's made up of atoms. So in that way it doesn't actually exist. Because it's been put together like this. You know, but then it will be that. So for us also, existence being temporary, we also will say was non-real. So what's the eternal element that's there? Is that the Lord and His energy? So this is one of the Lord's energies. That aspect is eternal. So then seeing the energies in the context of the Lord, that's eternal. And so even though the manifestation of the pot is temporary, if I use it in connection with the Lord, then it takes on that eternal quality. Though the pot itself won't be eternal. You know, so you have all these different levels that you're talking about. Does that make sense? So you have to get to the ultimate level. So in general discussion, we may not use this approach. Because if you're seeing connection with the Lord, then it works fine. But if you're not seeing the connection with the Lord, then you're saying it's real or unreal. On what basis? Because we've already shown that it exists. Right? They say it's unreal, meaning it doesn't exist. We say it exists, but we're not saying it's real. It's unreal because you don't see it in this context with the Lord. Therefore, your using of it is only going to bind you to the material world. When you use things in connection with the Lord, then that's reality. But when you use things that exist not in context with the Lord, that will be illusion, and it keeps you in illusion. So when you use things that exist in context of the Lord, that's real, that brings you to that platform of reality. So, does that make sense? It's a very specific aspect of mechanics.
Can we say, what is the nature of reality?
Krishna. Means how something connects to Krishna, that's reality. See, now mostly we say it's not real, we say it doesn't exist. You know, and so that's how the Mayavadis take it. Like they'll say, you know, the silver in a shell, it doesn't exist. You know, so it's unreal. But the point is silver does exist, otherwise why would you mistake the color of the shell to be silver? If there is no silver, then where's the illusion? You know, because if it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. You can say that the shell is a pumpkin, or, you know, it's a Maserati or something. You know, it could be anything. Because if nothing exists, then what does it matter? You know. Thus, the object can be seen as one by intelligence. Oh no! Thus, the object can be seen as one by intelligence as part. Huh? Oh, thus the object that can be seen as one by intelligence is Paramatma, the cause of everything. It was incorrectly said that Paramatma is the beginning and end of all beings. It was correctly said that Paramatma is the beginning and end of all beings. I was thinking, that doesn't make sense. It was correctly said that Paramatma is the beginning and end of all beings. Right? So he's the beginning, he's the end. So what you're seeing in the beginning is him, and what is there at the end is him. And in the middle is him. Because what brings it from him to what you see? That's also him and his potencies. So he's the beginning, he's the middle, and the end. So when it says that, it means therefore he's everything. That's how he's everything. So, yeah. In the third canto it was said, seeing the sleeping state in creating the universe, because the elements were unmixed, the Lord, first by his energy of cohesion, appearing through time, and then as Antaryami, entered the 23 elements simultaneously. Right, so that was the point that we were talking before, that was discussed. Well, this is... Okay, this is all part of the third canto. So this is all that aspect of how the elements are there, but unless he enters it, right? Because by his energy of cohesion, because the atoms can't be held together. So you say, it's earth, but the earth elements on the atoms on their own won't create anything. So you can't say it's earth. You can say, no, it's made of earth, but how? It's because the cohesion energy of the Lord and him entering it, right, appearing through time, therefore you can have movement and creation of things like that. And then is Antaryami. So he, with his cohesion, he enters. That's then what holds it together. So he's the gravitation. You know, they talk about you get the atoms and they gravitate towards another and you get enough, then it has this particular mass and everything like that. But funny, they talk about atoms. One atom can pull another atom together. They talk about gravity there. But point is that anything bigger than that could pull, by the same principle, anything bigger could pull something of the same. So that means one person can pull another, one car, another car. You know, like that, your house, the next neighbor's house would come, you know, like this. So that's the whole point, is that they only look at it on that level and then on a big level. Oh yeah, when it reaches a certain mass, then it has gravity. But then how did the atom hold together? It already has gravity. So notice in their definition, when they want to use the term gravity because it works for them, in another place they don't apply it. It's not consistent. Because they can't understand how it's working. Because otherwise, why would it hold the atoms together, but it wouldn't hold something else together? Right? That's because Antaryami is there, and he's deciding what gets held together and what not. It's his energy of cohesion. He's in control of it, not us. So by the laws of nature, he said that this will attract another thing, and then something else won't.
Cohesion means keeping together.
Yes. Like that. So that's there. That same element. Then you have the aspect of attraction. You know. And so all these things are all coming from the Lord. Why is the lotus attracted to the sun or the moon? That's by Krishna's arrangement. Why is the mosquito attracted to all the pilgrims in Mayapur during the Gaur Purnima festival? You know.
Sweet blood.
Tired of the ordinary, regular old. You know, they want something new, fresh. Yeah. The Lord entering by his Kriya Shakti and awakening the dormant karmas of the jivas combined the elements together. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:6, 1-3. Right? So Kriya Shakti is because he said with time. So time will be part of Kriya. Because you can't perform an activity without time. Because time means movement. Right? That's the whole point. So it's with that, but at the same time, is that's what's holding things together. The other is just these are the things that are there, but then now they're held together. Right? They exist by the jnana. Right? But then they're held together and activities happen by the kriya. But now what's the purpose? Is if it's not the Lord, the Lord's desire, then you're still in illusion. In the Shruti is well known that everything is the body of Paramatma. Yasya prithivi shariram. The body is the earth. His body is the earth. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3:7-3. Thus, what transforms into Pradhan as a part is Paramatma alone, the Avayavi, source of the parts existing elsewhere, and thus the world is not false. Right? It's real because of its being connected to the Lord. That's how it's not false. But if you're analyzing inductively, then it's not real. Because you can't find where the source is. Like the Maya's illusion is covering Brahman. So where does this Maya come from? Oh, it's, what's it? Anirvachaniya. You can't explain it. Says maybe you can't explain it, but the point is that where's the basis of it? So that's the thing. Their philosophy is unreal. They don't know what is Brahman. They don't know what is illusion. They don't know Jiva. They don't know Ishwara. So therefore, if they don't know these, how do they know what they're dealing with and making an activity function? Now, if you don't understand Chitta Chit Ishwara, how can you understand sadhana and sadhya? Right? The process and the result. So yes, that's why Mayavadis, their philosophy is an illusion. Their philosophy is about illusion, and they're in illusion. Like that. So if you want to be illusioned, their authority is in illusion. By associating with them, you can also be nicely situated in illusion. But to get out of illusion, that they're unqualified because their philosophy is about illusion. Riti. Having explained the cause of duality and the non-existence of independent objects in the material creation, means there's no independent object exists. That's the other point, is that all these objects don't exist separate from the Lord. So it's an illusion to think that they do. It's unreal to think that it exists on its own. Like that. You know, it's just like this pot here. Why is it here? Because of people. Why is the rug? Why is the building? Why is the wall? Why all these things? Because of people. So the same way, if we go back, that principle, it goes back. Why does anything else exist for the person? So there is no separate existence. So in that way, it's unreal. If you don't see it in connection to the Lord, you just analyze it on its own with the 24 elements, it is illusion. It's unreal. But when you see it in the context of the Lord, how the Lord has entered it with his Kriya Shakti, as the super soul, therefore then the time is there and then it's awoken in the desire of the living entities, all these things, then it all works. Then now you're dealing with this as real. Because if you have this understanding, then this is a spiritual understanding. So now you're situated in reality. You're situated in the spiritual platform. Right? You know, it's like analyzing the reflection in the mirror and saying that there's no original person that's being reflected. That's unreal. It exists, but your idea that it's an independent object is unreal. Does that make sense? So we're talking about the mentality. That perception, that is unreal. How you're seeing it, that's unreal. Your definition is not complete, it's unreal.
But without mind, we cannot get the point. Without material mind, we can get this point.
No. What is being discussed here in the Bhagavatam, materialists cannot understand this. To some degree they can, but not completely. So they may be less dealing with the unreal, but it's still unreal. That means they may be at the highest levels of the avidya shakti.
Yes, yes.
Right? You know, being controlled by goodness.
Yes.
But, you know, even there when it talks about them coming to Vishuddha Sattva, that pure goodness is not free from the modes, you know, technically. Means even if they get they become free from the modes and that they leave the universe. But the point is they're still under the avidya shakti. The mahatattva means the living entities are controlled by avidya shakti. And so then they being on Vishuddha Sattva, they still have the idea that I'm controller and enjoyer. They may not have the gross body, they may not have those aspects where they're controlled by the modes, but the point is they want to control and enjoy, and how long can they stay just on that platform of understanding? So they have to apply it, because as we see, everything's held together by the Kriya Shakti, the Lord, the Super Soul with the Kriya Shakti. And so therefore they will do something. And the living entity being Sat Chit, Chit means coming from there. And we are an expansion of that Samvit Shakti, which is the another feature of it is the Kriya Shakti. You know, in some sense. So that means by activity, right? It means you have influence by activity, right? You enjoy by activity. You know, your position is that of activity. So from all the three features, the prabhava, anubhava, and vibhava, then it still comes out to the same thing of the jiva. Does that make sense? Yeah? No?
We have to admit it's quite complex.
Yeah. At the same time, it's so simple. If the Lord is everything. He's the beginning, middle, and end, and everything is there. But because he's a person, therefore everything has that personal aspect. You know, and then he has that medium aspect and the impersonal aspect. You know, you have the person, then you have all the things that are organizing, and then you have the field that is there. So the field is expanding from that person, and the activities and all that are expanding from the person. Then there's the person. Right? But it all works because of the personal. Like that. You know, so the primary is the person, the secondary is the localized, and the tertiary is the field.
The difficulty in discussing Paramatma, if you look from a samasthi point of view, we don't have that feature. We have personal and impersonal, but we don't have a Paramatma feature. So for us, Paramatma, it's quite abstract.
Okay.
Personal, we can relate to, because we are, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
And then impersonal, also it's easier to relate because we can be, you know, easily impersonal. It's not a problem. But the Paramatma feature and the whole creation, whatever we study right now, it comes from Paramatma. Although he is the material cause, he is the efficient cause, he is the, in terms of time, the indirect cause.
Mm.
So then everything coming from there we have to accept, but
let's say, okay, you as a person, then you have so many features of the personality, and all that together is the person, right? But does the person not, and so that means so the qualities being perceived through action, is that not there? And then there'll be a field in which that will be applied. Because of a particular field, certain actions can be performed, therefore certain qualities are appreciated, then you get a very specific experience. You know, results and experience. So those are the three features. So that means all people have those three features. All living entities have those three features. You know, whether it's the Lord, you know, Parabrahman is the Lord, whether it's his internal potency is Brahman, the jiva is Brahman, or the external energy as Brahman, they still all have those three features. So only he is Paramatma. It means the other three, it's only as energies you have these three features of energy. But he, as the controller of these three features of energy, then as Bhagavan, he controls the personal. As Paramatma, he controls the qualities and activities like that, the willpower. And as Brahman, then he controls the field and its knowledge and its elements and its entities and, you know, what is their position, what they can do, what particular inherent qualities they have, not the manifestation of them. Manifestation of that, that'll be Paramatma. You know, the car is existing. It can, you know, run and move. Right? So it's just sitting there. It has those things. Then, when you apply the person, then they can start the engine and drive it. Now you're seeing the second feature. But what's its purpose? That's the third feature. So that's also, we're not necessarily telling the difference between the qualities that are dormant in something and the qualities that are manifest. Because it means you have a match, it has the dormant qualities of fire, so heat and light. But it's not manifest. So that's just as the field. But then when you strike the match, now you're dealing with the activity. You know, and then there's the tasting, the activity. So it's the same thing in three features. But the result you want is the actual drive. And then there's going to be the will to do that. Then there's going to be the field that you can work with. So Krishna is the beginning, he's the middle and the end. So it's his desire, therefore there's the activities that are performed within the field. So in that way then we can see. Because impersonal means just the things. It doesn't mean we're ignoring the person, because you're ignoring them because you're a person. One devotee, there's one letter where the writing Prabhupada, oh, the devotees are so impersonal. And Prabhupada says, no, that proves they're people. Because the point is the person is ignoring you or neglecting you or this or that. But why are they doing it? Because they're a person. Because if they're impersonal, they don't neither neglect nor interact. They just exist. Impersonal just means the existence of the thing. Does that make sense? So everything has that feature. The hairbrush is existing. Then it's engaged in brushing hair. Right? So that's the second feature. And then it gives a result of the hair being in particular order that therefore gives a particular effect or experience. So everything has these three features. But those three features, they are dependent upon the Supreme Lord. Because he is those three features. He is, because those are all energies. But the energy has to have a shelter. Energy can't exist on its own. It has to have a shelter. So he's the shelter in three features. Does that make sense? Therefore, name, form, qualities, pastimes. So it's the same principle. That's what I was bringing down to. The universe, everything is him because of this. So when you see it in this perspective, then you actually see. You're dealing with the universe in reality. But if you don't see from this platform, you're not actually seeing. It's unreal. What you see, it's unreal. You know, it's just like, let's say we go, you know, it's everybody's at home, they're not going anywhere, and, you know, say, the daughter's in her room and all that, you know, and you now and again check up just to see that nothing weird's happening, like that. So when you open the door, there's a little, you know, arrangement on the floor there. Everything's all set up, you know, and you have Barbie sitting over here, Winnie the Pooh over here. There's, you know, something else over here, Raggedy Ann here, something else there. You know, teacups are around. There's all kinds of stuff happening. No? So everything there exists. But is there actually a tea party going on? What happens if they're in Massachusetts and Boston? Now is there a tea party going on? Still no. Okay. You understand? So it exists, but it's not real. But when you see it in the context of the kid, in that way it becomes real. So in other words, only when it's brought back to the personal does it actually become, take on that aspect of real. Because Krishna is the person that's real. Therefore, when you deal with people and see those three features, then you're actually seeing things in reality. You know, like that. But it's not complete unless it's seen in context of the Lord. When you see that aspect of the Lord, then you can see, okay, she's seeing like that. And then, depending upon what's happening, you can go down and sit and take part in the tea party. Because that's how she's seeing, and that's how it works. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we see as that feature goes everywhere. So, therefore, that's why, because it's coming from Krishna, then that's the reality. Not seeing a connection with Krishna, then it's not. So that means then you have the aspect of not seeing it in connection with Krishna means not seeing it in connection with the personal. So not seeing things in connection with the personal, that's actually unreal. So you can deal with a part. Like, let's say you have a business concern. Somebody deals with a certain part. So in their perspective, that's all real, and it's not, but it's only actually real in the context of the concern that it's actually making, doing something that furthers the profit of the company. So by them doing something, it's not furthering the company making profit. Is it actually real? So again, it's cause and effect. You're going to see this personal aspect come down smaller and smaller and smaller. So it looks. So that's why we see is, you know, let's say we're dealing something practical. Oh, you're not seeing this in reality. You're seeing, you know, you're not seeing it properly. So you can uncover a little bit of how it mechanically works. Or you can get a result. But the point is if that whole process of Sambandhabhidaya Prayojana is not working in the context of the Lord, it's still an illusion. You know, it's just like, let's say, somebody's making their household run nicely. And it's going very well. That means they have to be aware of everything to make it work. But now someone will say, "Oh, you're you know just living in la la land. You know, here in the neighborhood here, all these crazy things are going on, and we have to get together and try to you know make it work nicely and all that." Okay, yeah. So now you wake up to that, and then you know like that. Then you do that. Then the mayor points, okay, you and your little suburb there, but you know, what about the rest of the city? You know, you have to have it like that. And then, you know, who's bigger than that? Then there's going to be the district or the state, you know, and that has its governor. And then above that, then you're going to have, you know, whoever is running the whole, all the state, the country. And then you've got, it just keeps going more. So the point is ultimately it has to go back to Krishna. So when you see it from that, then even you're working just on that simple, let's say in the house, or the family level, you see it connects you with Krishna, you're actually awake, you're seeing reality. Well, someone else working on a higher level of vision, you know, being able to materially see more, they're actually still an illusion. So that's why then it's self-realization. Each individual, they themselves can move forward in their personal development. Does that make sense? So if it's seen, then you see everything's personal and everything is very easily dealt with. You know, I mean, it still takes endeavor, it still takes the work, it still takes the proper understanding. But it means that then you actually know what you're dealing with. Right? This person and this person are having a problem. So what's the actual problem? problem is they as a person in their field, seeing these three features, they're not actually appreciating the others. Seeing their field of activities and the activities themselves and what their goals are trying to get. So then you have to show how, you know, you have your field, they have theirs, and how you're supposed to work. What's the cooperation? You know, that's the purpose of the religious activities, is that we constrain ourselves to stay within our particular prescribed duties so we don't disturb someone else. And by that restriction and improvement, we can take it further and take it all the way back to Krishna. So it's actually very simple, but at the same time it's very sophisticated. So it's not actually complicated, it's sophisticated. We complicate it when we approach it from the inductive, then it becomes complicated. But if you approach it from the deductive, then it's not complicated. It's very simple, but it's so sophisticated, it can be applied from Krishna down to the atom. You know, so that's, you know, in all levels, all these different. So there's unlimited things, so therefore the Shastra points out a few of them. You know? Means they point out some for every mentality, how they can be progressive, and then in that there'll be a hierarchy of how far they're, you know, some are just trying to make you human, like that, you know, and even if you're below human, at least they're regulating your life so that you could at one point become human. You know, it means from animal to social animal to human. You know, from human to the soul, from soul to servant of the Lord. So that's the progress that they're trying to take one through. Does that make sense? So you're going to have formulas for all these levels, but the devotional formulas already include, because wherever you are, they can engage all that in Krishna's service. So that's why there's so many ways you can look at it. That's why there's so many formulas given, but you only use the formulas that apply to you, according to your value. Your value, you have these formulas. You have another value, it's another set of formulas. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so then you're going to have, so sambandhavideya prayojana, that applies everywhere. Because why? That comes from Satchitananda. It comes from the Lord. Then within a specific area, when you get down to, when you drop from the paravidya to the aparav, that's when you start having more specific formulas for a specific group. So then previously you was dealing with the formulas that are for those that are jnanis, right? In the realm of knowledge, and knowledge and detachment are seen as the very major. But detachment in the material world as a separate endeavor, what they're doing, that's not actually important. If you're attached to Krishna, you're not attached to something else. So it's already obtained. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, there's a room full of things, let's say you shouldn't eat. But you're hungry. So you reach for one and say, no. You sit down. You reach for another. No. But it's not actual reality. So that's why I was saying this path of jnana, this renunciation, these are not reality, because the reality is, yes, eat this. If you're eating that, you're not eating any of these others. You know? So that's the thing. Devotional service is so simple like that. So, yeah. But by our conditioning, we don't think like this. So that's why the liberated souls, they think like this. That's why they can write these down. Otherwise, we'd never write this stuff down. We'd always say, oh, this and that, without this and all these things. No, it has nothing to do with any of that.
Not even in dream.
Yeah, not even in dreams. And the fun part, even Paramatma, he's the one who's creating the dreams for you, made out of, you know, what you've seen in the day and your previous samskaras, and you put all that together and you end up with a wild mush.
So Maharaj's discourse is like a shekel conditioning.
Oh, shake our condition. I thought you said shakel. I mean, that's good. Shakel is valuable, so that means the course is valuable. Yeah. No, it does. It shakes up our way of thinking. That's the whole point, is that we're sitting due to ignorance, we're looking at things in a particular way. So Krishna comes and shakes that up. So then if it can be shaken up just by this discussions and things like that, and then we try to apply it, like that, then you don't necessarily need many other shakings. But if, you know, we don't try and all that, then when we walk and we try to control and enjoy the material nature, then that will be shaken. You know? So that's the... So that's the whole thing. It's just trying to awaken the living entity. Now that means you're awake to Krishna's position and how everything's connected with him and how everything goes back to him. So you have to do everything, see everything, understand everything, endeavor in everything in connection with him. Otherwise, if you claim that you're woke and you don't see like this, you're still in illusion. You know, you're just illusion on the political platform. So yes, maybe you're not on the animalistic platform, you're on the political platform. But you're still on the platform of extended sense gratification. So it's still based on the gross and subtle bodily platform. You're not even dealing with the metaphysical. So you don't even understand the laws of God. Because according to you, is that what's good for the body or not good for the mind or not, we decide, not the laws of God, not authority, not Shabda. And so therefore, then, even you're woke, what does it matter? You're still an illusion. On the second platform, if the Mayavadis, they're aware that they're the soul and not the body, but at the same time, as so you could say that they're woke, but they don't see it in connection with the Lord either. They're also an illusion. Or the person, you know, they're woke, they see, okay, it's God's laws and everything like that, I'll follow the laws, and from that I'll get all the material facility that I want, either immediately or in the future. You know, going to heaven, you know, enjoying now and going to heaven. So they're still also in illusion. They're still also under the avidya shakti, even though they're getting higher in consciousness as they go through it. But they're not coming to pure consciousness, which is, I'm the servant of the Lord, and seeing everything in its context, how it actually connects to the Lord. So that's why we have to be careful of mixed consciousness. When we say mixed devotional service, means the consciousness is mixed. It's not so much the elements. We take it's the elements that are mixed. That's why we say, in this situation, you could do this. Then we take it that these external forms don't matter. I can do whatever I want. No, it's the consciousness. Like that. Does that make sense? That's what's mixed. And so therefore there's an element of karma or jnana there. So there's some fruit of gain we want, or there's some liberation that we want. And because of that, that's why it's not pure devotional service. So even though it's on the platform of the soul, it hasn't come to the pure platform of the soul. It's not Vishuddhasattva. And Vishuddhasattva, then the natural thing is all this potency and energy, if you look at it, if we analyze it, then all of it has to be sheltered in something. So energy, even though energy, you know, sheltering energy, at some point energy has to be sheltered by energetic. Right? And because it's all going on, like, there's a supreme person. So we see is therefore then on that platform where you come across to the actual spiritual platform, the real spiritual platform, then, or the complete, is then with that Shantaras, they see is that they appreciate all this comes from a person. So all this technical points that we're touching now, this is how they think. Shantabhaktas think like that. That's just a feel. For them, that's just natural. But it's all coming from the person. So they get from therefore, everything can give them ecstasy because they're seeing it in connection with the Lord. That's why they never feel separation from the Lord because He's everything. Right? But because the emphasis isn't on the personal aspect, it's on how He pervades, how He controls, all these different things like that. Brahman and Paramatma features, these are the prominence. Therefore, there's no sense of possession. Right? So that's then the unique thing, is that when you get to Dasya, now it switches over to the person. That's the prominence. Rather than how He pervades, how He controls, how He's everything, He's the supreme, like this. Right? So then that sense of possession, now they take up service. Does that make sense? You know. Like that. And so like this it goes up. Does that make sense? So in other words, they see more the field that is working. Then the next three rasas see more the activities. And then the top rasa is more focuses on the taste. All these things are there on all the levels, it's just where the emphasis is. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like I have a pile of spinach, right? A little bit of eggplant. I put the spinach in the pot, cook it down like that. I take the eggplant, I fry it like this, I put some spices and all that. What kind of sabji is it? What do I call the preparation?
Spinach.
Now, let's say I have a whole pile of eggplant and I have a little bit of spinach. And then when I cook that together, what do I call it? Eggplant. That's the whole point. Same things. So when you're dealing with rasa, you're dealing with these five, the vibhava, anubhava, sthayibhava, sattvikabhavas, and vyavicharibhavas. That's all you're dealing with. But it's where the emphasis is, you know, that gives the different taste of rasa. You know, so the swabhava of what you're dealing with. You know, Krishna is all, everything. That's why anyone can have a relationship with Krishna, all living entities. Right? So He's in all, He relates to all rasas because He is everything. But the particular individual, they'll be in a specific relationship with the Lord. They'll have a specific rasa. Is that something? Yeah, so that's the uniqueness. So you can see is that the same, it means later you'll see this. I'm not sure if you start seeing it from Krishna Sandarbha. But at some point you'll start seeing that in the same sentence, Jiva Goswami will go from this kind of perspective into the rasa perspective. The tattva and the rasa will be in one sentence. The first half will be the tattva, the second half will be the rasa. So that's the thing, is that here it's like we're not used to talking about either of them. Then we slowly get used to talking about this, or we talk about this, you know, dwait. You know, I can talk about it as two separate things. But at some point, then we can deal with them together. And then you see it's because of the one is the other. So it's not that the gopis don't see everything connected to Krishna and therefore can appreciate there. But in doing so, they only see Braja Krishna and their relationship with Him. While for the Shantibhakta, he's just seeing Krishna as the absolute truth, the Parabrahman. You know? So that's the emphasis. Right? And then within that, you'll have the emphasis on whether they're worshiping in majesty or in sweetness. So in sweetness, then it'll be the emphasis is on Bhagavan of Bhagavan, right? And if it's in majesty, then it will be the Paramatma of Bhagavan, and then the Shantas, then it will be the Brahman of Bhagavan. So they're all on the Bhagavan platform, the devotees, the Vaishnavas. But it'll be these features. And then within that, then there'll be, you know, the sweetness, then we said Bhagavan and Bhagavan, but then within that, there'll be three features of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So then you get the different tastes. Does that all work, or... No?
I think we have to wait till it actually happens.
Okay.
Because Nimbarka, he mentions Svabhaviki Veda Veda, which is, it's very elevated, even amongst Vaishnavas. But Achintya Veda Veda, you know, when it's simultaneously one and different, this is something.
Oh, I see. So already Dwait, but it's called, he called
Svabhaviki means natural.
Svabhaviki Veda, the natural difference.
So, yeah, natural difference and natural oneness.
Oneness, yeah, is already elevated, and
it's
then
very elevated.
And then Achintya Veda Veda is beyond that. But that's the uniqueness that has never been given before, and that's the fun. Is it's given? You would think, oh, that should be given in Satyuga. No, it's given in Kali. But Chaitanya is so merciful. So in Kali Yuga, to the most fallen, he's giving this, and so that, yeah. So it is possible. One has to have that confidence. That's one of the symptoms of bhava, is that confidence that you know, as the living entity, as servant of God, you can come to this platform. Then that's good. No? Okay. Riti, having explained the cause of duality and the non-existence of independent objects, right? So the cause of duality is you're seeing it separate from the Lord, right? You're not seeing it how it connects to the Lord. That's the cause of duality, right? And the non-existence of independent objects, because it's all coming from the Lord. It's all the Lord. Therefore, there's nothing independent in the material creation, right? Nard Muni next reasons that the dualities of good and bad qualities which exist in the material world can't be attributed to the Lord, although he is the material cause, right? Because then that's our other, you know, the flip, there's always the flip side. You know, you have one side, then there's the other, you know. So then we're going to say, okay, if he's everything, then he's all the good and bad qualities. The material world is a temporary manifestation which is changing every moment, and hence is called asat, false. Whereas the spiritual abode of the Lord is permanent and unchanging, and therefore called sat, real. Thus the faults of perverted reflection, material duality of the original real object, spiritual world, doesn't apply to the object. Right? So that, as we said, when something's reflected in the mirror, the faults in the mirror don't apply on the original object. Right. So
this is sometimes becomes confusing, because we explain that in the spiritual world variety exists, mm-hmm. but no duality.
Yes.
And then we actually experience in the material world there's also a variety, but there's a duality.
Yes.
But where is this duality is coming from?
Not seeing it connected to Krishna. it's that simple. That's the thing, is just accepting that it's that simple. You know, that in the spiritual world they don't see anything not connected to Krishna. They see everything in its position of how it's serving Krishna, its relationship with Krishna. And so therefore they're never an illusion. And they know who they are and their relation, and so they always act in their relation. They see others and their relation, and therefore, that's where you get the basis of, you know, having the rules and regulations here in the form of, like, the Varnashram, is because then it shows, you know, what one does. But in the material world, it's duality, because we don't see it connected with the Lord. Therefore, then the variety here then gives a dualistic experience. So it means, point, we don't see it connected with the Lord. That's the duality. We see the Lord and this are different. So is duality. Then within this, when we're trying to do, we all the activities we discussed before, we're doing that to get a result. And that result is for happiness. But we find within that results, that the result should give happiness is there's a duality, and sometimes it gives happiness, sometimes it gives distress. Right?
Yeah.
Because anything that you do, it has qualities. And then, therefore, these qualities give us happiness and distress. Right? So, the point is in the spiritual world, because it's all non-different from the Lord, even qualities that here we would call, because of duality, that give us distress, there they don't give distress. They give ecstasy. They give bliss. It's indirect. There's, in other words, there's the direct act, direct qualities that give bliss, and there's the qualities that indirectly give bliss. Like Mother Jashoda being afraid for Krishna as he's tied up in the coils of Kaliya. Right? And so that is going to create fear. But that fear, because now she's so absorbed in Krishna, being absorbed in Krishna, she's actually in ecstasy. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you're going to act in the context of that Vyavichari Bhava or that secondary rasa, you know, those actions and that support that rasa of fear, but it's actually giving ecstasy. So there's nothing that goes on in the spiritual world that doesn't give transcendental ecstasy to all the living entities. But in the material world, then those ones that give direct, we call those here piety, and they give happiness. And those that are indirect, we call impiety, and those give unhappiness. Right? So that's because we don't see it connected to Krishna. As soon as you see it connected to Krishna, that's why then the devotees here, then they still don't experience the duality. It still reminds them of Krishna, they're absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? So it comes down to that point. You know, Prabhupada says it's our choice. Do we remember Krishna and serve Krishna, or do we not? Do we choose Krishna or Maya? So we choose Krishna, it's non-dual. So therefore we don't suffer. You choose Maya, it's dual, because it's not connected to Krishna. Therefore within it, it also has that duality. So in other words, the variety in the spiritual world always gives ecstasy. The variety in the material world may or may not give. But it's the same. So the one thing may give one person happiness, the same thing will give another person non-happiness. You know, it's just like, let's say, the COVID is there, everybody's staying inside, and that, so no one's going out on the streets for so many, you know, days and weeks that now all the goats that are running around wild in the forest, they're just walking straight through the city. So for some people, they're just sitting there and laughing at that, and that gives them great happiness. For someone else, they're thinking, oh no, my cabbages. You know?
Yes.
You know, the goats will come and eat everything. You know, so the same thing gives one person happiness, the way another person gives distress. So that's the thing, is that's going to be dependent upon your karma and how you dealt. So in other words, if you followed the recommendation of the piety, then things give you a better, result of happiness. But if you didn't follow those rules, you use the indirect, you didn't do like that, then you'll get bad results. So everything becomes nicely explained when it's seen in the context of Krishna. Does that make sense? Then it all falls into place. All the philosophy, all the little technical points, everything falls into place. But you have to start with Krishna. Because if we start at the other end, and okay, we're taking things up and then connecting to Krishna, okay, I'm doing this, and it connects to Krishna. We're connecting it, so we're going to get effect. But there's still, it'll be more complex because of so many different considerations. Until we see it in connection with Krishna. And then when we do that, then it becomes very, very simple. Because it's about Krishna and the relationship with Krishna. Yes?
Also we see that when we say difference, we forget to identify what kind of difference we are trying to see.
Mm.
Like as the Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, essentially there are only two differences
two kinds of differences. One is the Vyavaharika and another one is called Tatvika. Vyavaharika means the conventional difference. So that's what the conventional difference is, what like between two objects in the material world. He gives the example of a cloth and a clay pot.
Mm.
But both are come from the both come from the soil only.
Mm.
So that it's only a conventional difference, but essentially both are the same.
Right.
But then at the tattvika level, or the essential difference is between the material means the internal, marginal and the external potencies.
Mm.
Neither we can mix those two, and the essential difference is always because of their position in relation with the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, then if there is no essential difference, then there is no purpose of the Supreme and then worshipping the Supreme.
Mm.
Because there is essential difference between the Lord and His energies, then the energies serve the energetic.
Mm.
So when we look the differences, we don't look like which is the conventional and which is the essential difference also. Either we mix all of them.
We mix one or the other. Mix them together, but don't necessarily see. Or you can't use them together. Because technically, if you sing, what was the second one?
Tattvika.
Tattvika. When there's tattvika, there is no material world.
Mm.
There may be the temporary, the manifest energy, but there's no material world.
Mm.
So then, again, it's all, the variety is within its context of Krishna. And so if you sing in Vyavaharika, is that what's the other one?
Yeah.
The conventional, then you're seeing a duality. And then also duality here and then between the material and the spiritual.
Yes, yes.
Like that. But in the other one, then you see it as it's all Krishna's energy. So then you see it all in one particular perspective. All related to Krishna. How does it relate to Krishna? That's what's important. It doesn't relate to Krishna, it's not important. You know, it's just like, let's say, you're out picking flowers, right? Am I going to go over to this chetai over here with the termite little, you know, castings on it? No, I'm going to go look at trees, right? But then am I going to go over to those palms over there? No, I'm going to go to the flower bush. And then in the flower bush, am I going to look at the leaves? No, I'm going to look for the flower. You know, so in other words, when you see things connected, you see just what is what your nature, what you do in your connection with Krishna. That's what you'll see. And then others, then if you don't have some relationship, then you're always going to have the proper etiquette because they're always serving. But you're going to stick to your group. You know, and there's etiquette how you relate with that, because everybody's connected to Krishna. You do have a relationship with them. But it's just a matter of when and how much and how often, you know. Is that? No?
I have a question about it.
Oh, it's over. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada.